Okay, devotions are an opening this morning. It will be a very simple opening. I will turn to 1 Corinthians 13. I'm sure you're very familiar with that chapter. Probably a number of you could recite it by heart. That's good. There was a time where I could at school, but I guess I didn't apply the discipline to keep it cultivated. First Corinthians 13 is a chapter. It's the greatest. Well, the title says greatest gift, but it's a excellent, more excellent way. And the interesting is, it's situated right in the middle, not right in the middle, but toward the latter part of First Corinthians. And remember, First Corinthians is a epistle from the Apostle Paul to the believers in Corinth, the body of Christ in Corinth, and they had a lot of issues to work through. And when I read how Paul contends with these issues, even his own apostleship, his authority and credit was being questioned. It's always inspiring to see his endurance and perseverance, and he doesn't throw in the towel, and he doesn't become burned out, even though I'm sure he become weary, and the load was probably heavy for him many times. But there's always something about Paul that I covet after, something that I can learn from him. But right here, after giving the gifts, explaining the covering, communion, or the Lord's Supper, he suddenly breaks in into love. 1 Corinthians 13, in the first chapter, it says, "Though I speak with tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profits me nothing." Here Paul could see that even if we get all of this right, we get these problems straightened out, if we do not have the love of God, we are still missing it. This is something that we cannot afford to lose. And he goes on to explain love. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not prate itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. He had said in the middle that love is not provoked. It doesn't seek revenge, retaliate. It doesn't come out swinging at if someone approaches it. One thing I do want to bring in here, and an error that I have already made, is it simply accommodates everything. I think I had the false belief that a true Christian will endure everything, even though it does say endure all things, but I think I misunderstood it. If a brother sins against you, I'm not talking about an unbeliever, I'm talking about a brother, and I only accommodate it, it could kind of seem that's being kind. But if my brother does not recognize his error and he repeats it, and he repeats it because I did not hold him accountable, is that love? Did I love my brother? Or if I would have talked to my brother in a godly manner, in a humble way, in a truthful way, even if it could have, there could have been conflict, there could have been emotions, I think that is still, that it would be the real love that Paul is talking about. And I had talked about the more about love, how it is. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part will be done away with. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, and then I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know, just as also as I am known. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. It's encouraging to see there's a lot of things that we are doing that is temporary. It will come to an end. It will be fulfilled. But we can have the exciting news that love, the true love of God, if we are living in that, that's never going to end. That's going to extend into eternity, and we can always experience that. So that is all I have to share, and may the name of God be glorified.
Amen, Brother Ernest. You can't add anything to it. Let's just try to live it. I could be corrected now. I'm just going to make one comment about love. It's not in 1 Corinthians 13. I'll use the one in Hebrews 12. For which son does not the father have that he doesn't chastise? If the father doesn't chastise this child, then it'd be a shame, not only to the mother, but to everyone. And one other verse would be in 2 Corinthians, talking about the man that was living with his father's wife. In 1 Corinthians 5, he was in sin. In 2 Corinthians 2, not to take away from love, we endure all things, but there is a time for admonishing, for spanking, for doing those things. In 2 Corinthians 2, it says about that man who was guilty, sufficient to such a man is this punishment, which was inflicted of by many, so that contrariwise you ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore I beseech you that you would confirm your love to him, to confirm your love to him. The paddle or the spanking or admonition is a form of love, and we don't want to go overboard, but there is a part of love that is discipline. The Lord be magnified.
Yeah, I appreciated what you shared. A couple of thoughts I had. One was about love and enduring all things. You said that Christians shouldn't. You pose this question like, does that mean a Christian endures all things? And I guess I think like our love, or a Christian endures things. Maybe a perfect Christian can endure anything. I guess I just thought of it. I had the thought of a tree. You know, when it's young, if you hung a swing from its branch, you might break it. But as it gets bigger, then you could hang a swing from it, and eventually you could hang a car from a tree branch, if it's alive, and if it's growing. So as a Christian maintains his life, abiding in Christ, he can endure more and more, and then kind of like unto it. I also thought of is not provoked, which is probably at least one application of something that is endured, enduring provocation. And then the thought I had about that was that being provoked is tied to expectations. And I guess I think like it's a lot easier to not be provoked by a child. It's a lot easier, especially a child that you love. But just in general, we don't have a lot of expectations for a child. We expect them to not be very mature. And so if a child speaks disrespectfully to us, or somebody young, or we don't expect it, and so we're able to offer correction and love more easily without having been provoked. Whereas somebody else, somebody that's older, now we have expectations for this person, and so if they speak disrespectfully to us, we're more easily provoked. We expect people to respect us. We expect people to behave maturely and to be perfect. And so when our brother or our husband or our wife fail in that area, it's more easy to be provoked. And so if we will, this thing that love does, that kind of removes these love kind of removes these expectations. Love, one thing I've thought of is like, if somebody cuts me off, I think, well, what if, and I can, you know, I'd be tempted to be like, what is that guy thinking? What's that guy doing? He should know. He should have been respecting that I was, he should have seen me and seen that I was coming through, and that, doesn't he realize that's dangerous? That's what I might think for a stranger. But then if I look and, oh, it's my dear brother so-and-so, like, I'd be like, oh, well, he probably just, you know, my love for him, it makes it easy for me to be like, oh, he probably just didn't see me, or he must have really been in a hurry, or, you know, my love for them covers it up. So if we have love for each other, then we're, if we already have that love, then it takes away being provoked. So anyway, this something that I would think of, you know, I want to grow in is not having expectations that people would respect me. That would be humility. And then not have expectations that other people should behave perfectly, like even allowing mature people to have a bad day or make mistakes.
One quick comment also, that a lot of young people, and most of you young people, are going to get married. You're going to find husbands and wives, and, oh, look at this dreamy hair and this figure, and the guy will say that to the girl. But look what, with in the book of Ruth, that we know that what God said to David, a man looks at the outside, and God looks at the inside. But look in the book of Ruth, what Boaz saw about Ruth, her, how she was taking care of her mother-in-law, how she loved, and that's why Boaz went after Ruth. The Lord be magnified.
Another aspect of love that is in the scriptures too, talks about those who do not love have not seen or known God, and that's a pretty powerful meter, I guess, of where we're at, in our Christian walk. It's something that I've failed many, many, many times. And that I want to learn and understand more. Like, God loved us when we were enemies, and yet He requires the same of us. And so, I heard a message on love one time that was referring to that, and it was very provoking. It's very provoking because so easily we can justify, you know, someone offending us, and we could just like reason them out, like, well, they're not really a brother, or they're a apostate, or whatever the case may be. But Jesus didn't do that with the Pharisees or the sinners. You know, he came to each one and reproved them in love, and each one, and he wanted to see both of them in the kingdom. And I think that's just a really stretch of my faith to be perfect in that way, and to love those because they're made in the image of God.